I will weave my preaching between what I prepared on Wednesday morning and then out of my own mother's life, how she came and what I saw, some of those things, some wonderful things, and then some things which really irritated me and annoyed me in the nicest possible way. I will tell you why I say those words. Can I have the book of Psalms 119 verses 89? Bible says to me, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And so, over here, I could ask for a general consensus. You know, could you give me your word? Or could you assure me that I'll do this, I'll do that? Generally, people will say, yep, I could do this, yep, I could do that. But the words are often very iffy. One moment will say yes, next moment they will say, I've changed my mind. But somehow or other, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, when he goes to the cross, when he says, I give up my ghost, I give up my spirit, and he goes, and after that, every apostle and every disciples of Christ who came after him, whenever they started to speak the words of Jesus, there was a profound impact which used to take place in people's life. I think you would see that in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John on a regular basis. And so I saw during the early days of my life in my own mother's life, when she became a born-again Christian at the age of 32, 33, 34, if I remember correctly, I saw that mom starts to preach and teach the word of God. And as soon as she will start to pray, healings will start to take place in a very profound manner that I never thought it could be possible. But somewhere along the line, as I grew up, I came to know this scripture. Scripture says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So to those of you guys who are here this morning and you are saying, I want to be healed. Can I say this one thing though? When God says, and he says, I am the Lord who healeth thee. I am the Lord who heals you. May I say, don't doubt his words, but rather accept his words. It's been settled in heaven. So the moment you accept it's settled in heaven, nothing then down on this planet earth will start to unnerve you. You see, we seem to have our nerves being shot at daily, on a daily basis, due to our prime minister letting us down, or our president letting us down, or by our politicians letting us down, or a promise which was made to you and to me has been let us down. And so, you know, even subsequently what happens is the issue of trust gets eroded in our personal life. But the words of Jesus, though, never gets eroded. The words of Jesus is eternally settled in your heart. In every sense, who God can be and what God can actually do in your personal life. So with this, can I come through the first lot of scriptures? And I want to go through right at this moment. So we want to look at the living in the established finished work of the cross. Healing of Jesus confirms his own words. I'm so sorry. I think I got my mistakes. Confirms his own words, not hid on own words. There's power in the blood of Jesus. The devil's defeat is exposed when healing manifests through Jesus Christ in the book of 1 John 3 verses 8. I've been in this country for 34 years. When I went to Singapore, I saw all my old friends. And some of them, they were able to understand me. Others were saying, would you come and speak like us again? How you used to speak 34 years ago. Why this high fluent English? Be like a Singaporean. And I said, I said, 34 years has changed me. The Aussies have done a great job on my life. So when I met them, and there were two nights consecutively, there were wakes. In Singapore, we don't celebrate wake. After the burial, we celebrate wakes before the burial. So we do the wake before the burial, and after the burial, then we just say, ta-ta, see you, have a wonderful time, because the last 2 days we've seen each other and kissed each other, hugged each other, that's more than enough. And so, as we were doing, I remembered when I came to this country in 1991. I was in the seminary, second year. My father was, my dad was basically was brought in the hospital in an ICU unit, being said that your father's alive. He's going to leave this earth at any one time. This was 1991. Because of his entire, his tummy lining has blown up. There's no more lining. It's just blown up. And they said he has got no chance of living. And I remembered at that moment, I was about to leave Australia for good. And I was about to go to Singapore and be with my parents, finish my 2 years Bible college training, and then I'll start my ministry in Singapore, never to be seen in this country. But I remembered Dr. John Allen Friend came and said to me, "Lady Sands, God is not calling you to Singapore. God is calling you. You go down to Singapore, you'll never come back." I said, "What about my father?" "Not to worry. Your father will live." He gave a word. And I'll never forget that. And my mother was in Singapore, and I said to my mom, "Mom, I need to come back to Singapore." She said, "Don't worry." I said, "What are the pastors are saying?" My mom said, "All your pastors are saying is prepare for a funeral." And I said to mom, "What are your thoughts?" She kept on saying, "My faith is bigger than my pastors. Your father will live on." I said, "Why do you say this?" She says, "Forever thy word is settled in heaven." In 1991, I was in the second year Bible college. "Forever thy word is settled in heaven." I said, "He's still in the ICU, mom. And, he's in his 50s or 60s. I think 60s. He'll come back." Exactly to her words. By the realm of faith, Bible says here, living in the established finished work of cross, exactly to the words of what she said. After that, he lived on another 20 more years to live. And so what am I trying to say this? The work of healings of Jesus is still available to us. But somehow or other, today we do not seem to know how to magnify and glorify God. One of the complaints I received in Singapore when I went in, my brother and a few other people were saying, "Have you ever noticed all the songs which are coming out right now? Those songs are no longer, you cannot sing them by just simply with a rhythm anymore. The newer songs which are coming through, without the music, you cannot just do an archipelago. You can't do that anymore. The songs of the 80s and 90s, you can, without any music, 'I love you, Lord,' and the song just goes on. But today, you can't sing them anymore." I said to my people, "What are you guys saying?" "I think they are new age songs. Those songs has got no more really, substance in it to carry our faith in Jesus Christ." So the finished work of the cross of Calvary is no longer in our hearts, and we don't seem to manifest that. We don't seem to really demonstrate that on a regular basis. Rather, we have become to a point like monotonous, like robotics. We come in on a Sunday, we are going to hear a great word from Pastor Leanne, or from me, or Pastor Lynette Tobin, or whoever the pastors would be on that day. We're going to get a word, and then we're going to go through the week, and we go through the motion, and then we come back again. I love the fact we are a growing church, but I'm also very mindful and careful that we are not going to turn up to become a club. Most churches have become like a social club. Not there's nothing wrong. We love our families, and we love our people. I was rather shocked. There were so many people, pardon my language, that I did not know they were stalking me in my Facebook. That the point is, this person. When I looked at them, "Are you guys all following me?" And all these new names are coming out. People that I haven't known. People I don't even know. And so what am I trying to say? We want to make the Church of Jesus Christ to be relevant as what it was in the book of Acts. And the same church is still operating and functioning even in our current modern times. So if you were to go through the scripture, Psalms 199 verses 116. The book of Psalms 199 verses 116. Can I have that scripture very quickly? Thank you. Psalms, 119. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. I've been calling since last week. We are going to call this season, as I drove my car back home, tell your people, I'm going to do a festival of healings. The next number of seasons we're going to go, I'm going to do some powerful healings. Some of you guys are on the database. I sent a very wonderful, powerful testimony. A man was diagnosed to have a throat cancer. And you guys would have read it, have been watching our program. After watching our program, and he took a step of faith, went to the doctors, and the throat cancer disappeared. No longer it was there. So to one of the first things though, I think as a man or a woman, we don't like to be ashamed. Would you agree with me? And so we wear the cross of Calvary very, very proudly on our heart, and we show the cross. I am a Christian. I believe in God. But when it comes to, say, life-threatening disease or illness, we want to tell them, I am going to get healed. I am going to be touched. I am going to be moved. But then if the healing does not take place, there's this word called shamefulness comes through. And so here we find David says, uphold me according to your word that I may live. For the first time, I saw my mother's lifeless body. They have basically, dressed her up to the nines, and they've embalmed her, all of the above. In Asia, you've got a coffin and you can see the entire body, and we do not close it. So everyone will come around and you'll view that entire body. Most of them break down and cry. I had a couple of tears. I looked. And all I could remember now, I will never hear her words anymore. It's a lifeless body. And yesterday when we went down to this burial site, when the body was lowered down, 6 foot down, and everyone was throwing orchids, those were the way of farewelling it. And I said, I will never see this lady again in my entire life. For the last 14 years, I lost my dad. But I kept on living through my mother because I kept on seeing my father in my mom. But I don't have anyone anymore. So we fight and we often say, how do we prepare for mortality? And so to all of you guys, you and I, God has given us this many, many years. But in the whole process, we do not know how long we're going to live. 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. But as much as we live, there's always the evil presence and the evil one who's trying to bring you down, trying to corrupt you, trying to break you down. And one of the greatest curses that we can ever receive is an illness from the work of the devil. And that's why David says, uphold me according to your word that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. See, this hope that you build in God is a hope that God has given to you. And that hope is to see that you and I will never be ashamed in every sense of the word. I saw my Chinese pastor. His name is Pastor Neo Barnett. Pastor Neo Barnett was my pastor when I was 14 years of age. So he knows the entire Marais clan. He did the entire funeral service. He's now 64 years of age, and he says, he calls me now. I said, call me Rich. He says, no, you're a pastor. Pastor Rich, next year is my final year in ministry. 65, I'm retiring. I said, why do you retire early? You should still keep on serving God. He laughed at me. But while I was speaking to him, a lady interrupts between my conversation with myself and the senior pastor, Pastor Neo Barnett. And she says, I'm so sorry to say this to you. Can I interrupt? And she says, Pastor Rich, you prayed for me in 2018. One of my lungs was completely destroyed. I was surviving only one lung. So Pastor Barnett listens to the conversation. One of the lungs, as in, you said a prayer. You asked me and you picked me up in the crowd. I stood and you said, your lungs is not working, one lung. That was 2017, you said, in your mother's church. In the last number of years, that one has become a brand new lungs. Now both lungs are operating to the finest quality. And then in between that, she says, you gave a prophecy which was really, really way out of whack, she says. I thought you were a fraudulent prophet. I said, people call me all the time. She says, your daughter will go to Oxford University in London. She will do PhD in economics. And then she'll work in a bank in Singapore. She'll be an advisor for economical financial consultant for this bank. In the middle of the conversation, she says, my daughter went to Oxford, exactly to what God said, and then did her PhD in Oxford. She finished her master's somewhere in America, did a PhD in Oxford, graduated, came out. Today she has become an advisor, consultant to one of the major Singapore banks. So you look at everything that God does. There is a part of life we want to live and live and live. On my last posting, on the last posting on my brother's Facebook, he took a picture. I think he got his wife. He got my mother's hand and his hand, the lifeless hand. And someone taken a picture and he says, I don't want to let you go, but I'll see you in heaven. That was my brother's last words at the hospital. I remembered after the wedding, I quickly went back home. He was crying. He said, I'm not ready to let my mother go. I said, we have to let her go. She's gone. It's just you and I. So the moral of the story is, life is precious. Life is precious. When I look at, when we look at relationships, they're messy. But don't try to say terrible words to people. Words of the effect that you might regret for the rest of your life. Today they are here. Tomorrow they won't be here. Life is precious. And David recognized how life could be like a vapor. It's here today, one moment, next moment it's gone. But in that whole process, we are fighting for our life. So often you'll ask, does God really care for me? And if God cares for me, does He really heals me? As far as God is concerned, God is always in the business of healing, but at the same time, He's not going to allow you to be ashamed. There's hope. Bible says, the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 5, thou, there is hope. Hope is not there to disappoint you. Can I touch the second point? Where are we right now? The second point. Healing of Jesus confirms His words. Thank you, Stephanie, for correcting my English. Healings of Jesus confirms His own words. Can I have the book of John chapter 10, verses 37 to 38? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me, He says that. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know, that believe that the Father is in me, that I am in Him. That you do not believe me, because believe the works that you may know. So again and again, when Jesus did, one of the powerful things that Jesus kept on bringing the healing is to glorify the Father in every step of the word. During the burial, I shared a short testimony. My mother was not interested in Jesus until 1981, 8th of December. A man claimed to be as my father's best friend, whom I did not know, who was going to be a robber, and he was an imposter, came to our home. And then within a couple of minutes, he says to me, I'm having a chest pain. Could you go and buy a bottle of soda? I go in. And I go down while he takes his handkerchief and a bottle of chloroform, pours the chloroform, and then snuffs on my mother's nose. My mom passes out unconscious, drags her body into the bathroom and steals on that day $50,000 cash, $50,000, 99.9 carat gold. $100,000 was gone. It's a lot of money for 1981. 45 minutes later, that lifeless body came back. She shouted to the top of her voice in her lung, there's a robber, there's a robber. He ran with all the jewelry and with all the 50,000 cash. And on that day, my mother's life changed. Never again was she ever the same lady. After that, she said, we were nominal Christians. After that, she said, why do I worship this Jesus who doesn't seem to care for me? I went to church from time to time, yet I did this, I did that. We were nominal Christians. And finally, there was a search of heart. Is there this Jesus? Until one day, Yonggi Cho comes to Singapore, does a 7-day crusade. Who wants Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? She puts her hands up. I want Jesus. The next moment, 1982, we are talking, and that's the moment charismatic renewal was going through. The whole world is now starting to know about the third person in the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. Everyone is speaking in tongues. Yonggi Cho says, who wants the baptism of the fire of the Holy Spirit? Mom didn't realize what she is about to receive. She puts her hands up. I want the Holy Spirit. Power comes upon her like a lightning. She speaks in tongues for the next 3 hours. She turns around. Her life was completely changed, remarkably changed once and for all. After that, she said, I cannot just stay at home as a lady in this household, and I can't be here anymore doing. I have to do something for God. I have to do something for Jesus. I should have been dead and gone. Your father should have been raising you up on his own as a single father. If I'm here, it's because of my mother. It's because of my Jesus. See, the one and the first thing she knew what to do, she knew how to cook a good curry. She started this ministry called Chicken Curry Ministries. Mutton Curry Ministries. She will cook and cook and cook for the church. Continually she'll cook. Her own money, she will say, no charge, nothing at all, because my Savior saved my life. One day, my Finnish pastor, when I say my Finnish pastor, he's from Finland, from Helsinki. Pastor Joel Ikonen, he said, Sister Elizabeth, in Singapore, we don't call people Elizabeth, Peter, Wendy. You have to call brother or sister. It's a very old terminology in Singapore. Sister Elizabeth, I don't think so God has called you for chicken curry ministries. He's called you more than chicken curry ministries. And she says, what are you trying to say? He's calling you to become a pastor. She said, I can't even speak. And pastor, you know, Finland, having a Finnish accent. Nonsense, he says. I will train you up. And then over the next number of years, she then got trained up, diploma in ministry, in Salem Mission Training Center, started to really, really serve God. And sadly, this was in the 1980s. There were no Indian Tamil pastors. You know how Indians are often stereotyped. Women are meant to be in the kitchen. And women cannot do this, women cannot do that. So there were 30 male Indian pastors. They said, we will shut Elizabeth down. My father said, we will see who will shut who down. My father said, I will take care of my wife and I know what to do with this motley crew. So I remember my father used to come. He said, Malaf, you go and speak. I can't preach. She'll go at the back. He'll go at the back and he'll sit down. For the next 2 hours, he will just quietly just sit down at the back. And he will start to speak in tongues for his wife. Year in, year out, year in, year out. My mother will ask, how was the preaching? Fantastic. Now would you please cook for me for my dinner? Bible says, if I do not do the works of my father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works. So for whatever, you know, the last number of weeks, people are, men and women are getting healed in Jesus' name. Don't believe me, but whatever I do for the Lord, believe in Jesus Christ. If you can't believe in me, that's fine. Bible says, you know, because I go to my Father, he shall do greater works than what I've done. So the remaining years, as my mother kept on doing 40 years of ministry, I often used to bring her back in. You know what she will do? I fly in the best airlines. I'm very biased. Singapore International Airlines is the best airlines. I've flown a lot of airlines, but I believe Singapore Airlines is the best. I flew Qantas. I got to be honest. Oh my goodness, Qantas. Qantas was in a mess. Every single person who was processing the ticket, they were trainees. They don't have staff to maintain. On Friday, Singapore Airlines have come back to black. They were in the red in the last 2 years. Within 6 months, they've come back in black. The guys are firing up in all airlines. Our guys are training our guys up. I flew Qantas. It was a nice airline. And I fly my mom in Singapore Airlines. And so she will sit over there, and then she will befriend this person, befriend this person, befriend this person, befriend this person. 5 and a half hours later, she will land in, she will wave at me at the arrival hall in Perth. And then out comes with the, like an entourage of 10 women will come. And she will say, I said, who are they? They are just my friends. I said, Mom, I have never known this man. I just made friends with them for 5.5 hours. I was wondering in my heart, would you please pray for all of them? I said, Mom, I paid your airfares. I want to see you and I want to speak to you and I want to talk to you, not to pray. And she will say, please, this might be the last day you will see me. She'll manipulate. This might be the last day. You might not see me anymore. I said, do not use that line. And I said, okay. And I'll carry all the bag. The 10 ladies, 8 ladies. And she's done this year in, year out. She'll come in at that car park. Thank and praise God. I'll used to park my car in the car park at Perth Airport. I'll park and one by one, I will pray. At that car park for 30 minutes, I'll pray. And some of them will give their hearts to Jesus. Then she will say, now we can go. Then she will be, while we were driving, now doesn't that feel good in your heart? Today someone gave your heart to Jesus. And this is a mother that I used to know. 40 years she kept on doing this on a regular basis. Because if I know Rachel for the first time, in this neck of the woods, we will call, she is my acquaintance. My mother had no lingo understanding. Between, what's the difference between acquaintance or friend? Everyone is a friend. So she will befriend everyone. I just want that soul in the kingdom of God. And at the same time, I saw powerful healings were getting manifested. Can we go through the second point? Where are we right now? So there is power in the blood of Jesus. Can I touch the book of Isaiah chapter 54 verses 4 to 5? Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore, for your maker is your husband. For your maker is your husband. And one of the things is, I think one of the things we find is, you know, if I look at Wendy, if I look at Raj over here, when we go through life, we might be surrounded by a lot of friends. But once in a while, you feel very lonely. You feel very isolated. I'm not saying for those men and women who have lost their spouses. Even when you are married to your husband or married to your wife, sometimes you feel your wife do not really understand you. Your husband does not really understand you. And sometimes I call this pity party. We go through this pity party and we go then into this cave and then we start to cry. Why am I crying? Why am I breaking down? Is there something wrong with me? But Isaiah says, for your maker is your husband. Your maker is your husband. So if this maker is your husband, then he would know how your lungs operate. He would know how your heart operates. He would know how your tummy operates. He would know how your kidneys operate. All of the above. But we don't tend to go to your husband, the maker of all those parts of your personal life. I was 27 years of age. I went to Singapore because back in the day, Australia rejected my ministry. I was too young, 27. My mother said, come down to Singapore. See, I came down and she opened up a whole lot of churches. From the Anglicans to the Assemblies of God to the Catholics to every Lutheran church I was ministering to. One night, there was a man. And that man, I was casting a demon off. And that man took his fist and punched the living daylights out of me over here. That man, he did not know, but there was a demonic spirit that was operating. That punch blew me over here. The next 3 days, I threw up diarrhea and I was on the bed. 3 days on the bed. On the fourth day, I broke down and I cried. I said to God, I don't want your deliverance ministry. Just let me preach, teach, maybe perhaps just prophesy. This was 27 years of age. I think that's more than enough. I told my mother, I was in the bed on the fourth day. And I was lying down. She said, she turned around. She said, so I wasted 10,000 Aussie dollars to send you to a seminary in Perth. The Aussies have really turned my son a lame duck. Have I got a duck coming out of Australia right now? I could have sent you to Singapore Bible College in Adam Street or Adam Road. They would have turned you a giant in God. Is this what the Aussies have turned you around? A wuss. She turned around and she said, get up from your pity party and know this. God wants you. God needs you. You need to give a problem and a threat to Satan for the rest of his life. You need to send a strong signal to him. Don't mess with Rich Marias. Get up right now. Your sickness have left right now. No more antibiotics. No more coughing medication. I'm throwing everything. She threw that in the bin. She was that one of those hardcore ones that she would throw all the medication. I said, those medication, I bought that $36. She said, you're fine. She said, this is psychosomatic. I said, what? Psychosomatic. You're feeling pity. Get up yourself and start to work. She taught me that every illness, every disease comes from the work of the devil. Cast it off. It'll go and you'll never be there. Amazingly, on the fourth day, I got up, started walk, no more throw up, and I ate all my Singaporean favorite food. Mom said to me, you see, it's not that hard. God needs his people. Bible says, for your maker is your husband. Isaiah 54 verses 4 to 5. Can I touch the last point? Where are we right now? The devil's defeat. He's exposed when healing manifests through Jesus. Can I have the book of 1 John chapter 3 verses 8? 1 John chapter 3 verses 8. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, listen to this last scripture. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So every time when you and I get healed, the works of God is manifested and you're defeating Satan in his face. And he doesn't like it. The longer you hold your illness, the longer you hold your disease, the enemy keeps on laughing at you. The moment you recognize the identity and the authority of Christ Jesus, it defeats all of the above. The enemy no longer can laugh at you, no longer can be with you and around you. You see, this is one of those fundamental teachings that we have lost along the way when we became seeker-friendly, user-friendly churches. Don't let people get upset. Don't speak in tongues. Don't prophesy. Don't cast demons off. And eventually, we have grown in a generation to accept sickness is part of life. Yes, it is part of life. But you also realize, in the same part, Bible also says, Bible has given us the DNA, sickness should also be casted in Jesus' name. But we no longer do that any further. Would you agree with me? We tend to really accept every part of our life. So can I encourage you, as the festival of healings continues on in this church, week in, week out, we have so many powerful testimonies are coming through. Start to invite men and women who are sick. Start to invite men and women who are not doing well. Start to invite men and women who really touch a deliverance of God. See, can I say this something though, guys? Right at this moment, the state government is really getting a hammering from us. Because there is what we call ambulance ramping. Have you ever realized that? And there's no more bed. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever thought, if all of us start to walk in Jesus in divine healing, wouldn't this be nice, as John G. Lake did in the state of Washington, that the state became so healthy, the hospitals went into a place of emptiness. Have you ever thought, why can't we really, pardon my language, basically we make sure no one ever goes to hospitals anymore? Because we no longer want to walk in divine healing. if you all of us start to walk in divine healing, invite all our friends and our, you know, our neighbors and all of them, and when they start to get healed in Jesus' name, you will never have ambulance ramping. The hospital could be still used for other purposes, but the majority of the people will be healed in Jesus' name. But we don't do it anymore. So Bible says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. We are called to be destroyers of the works of the devil. But we are not sometimes acting one. Rather, we accept whatever the prognosis is by different men and women are giving. Particularly, our best doctor is Dr. Google. Nowadays, it's so interesting. You don't even see a doctor. Let me Google this. Let me go. Ooh, I got cancer. Ooh, I've got heart attack. Ooh, there's such a disease. I said, who said this? Google said that. Google said that. Did Google did 8 years of degree in medicine? No. Google said that. There are literally people have come and in and at the altar. I said, Pastor Rich, I've got this. I said, who said this? Google said this. I said, who's your doctor? Dr. John. Could you go and see Dr. John? Ask him what he says. Dr. John has got 40 years of experience. He knows. What, you know, he knows what's wrong with your body. Not to go and see Google. Google is a work of a witchcraft. Whatever they produce, whatever knowledge, and you are basically accepting the information as a form of a witchcraft and displaying something in your body which does not even exist, and you're talking and speaking and confessing over you and the body, and Google says, this is what you've got, this is what I've got, this is what I've got. Now your body's got it. People do this. People do this. I stand with people. People tell me, this is what I've done. I said, please, do not go and listen to Google. They're a bunch of bozos. What would they know? They would not even know. They don't even have degrees. Those guys are not doctors. Dr. Google have got a whole lot of guys just, you know, putting some information. Don't do those things in your heart. I want to quickly thank Chester Reeve. He was ready to back me up. To come this morning to preach I want to thank Chester for standing by. This man was flying back all the way from the United States. He said yes, up in the middle of the air for all I know. He said he will come, and I was managed to be able to get out to leave Singapore in the last flight, 3:30. I want to thank all of you guys for standing up with me, to cry with me, and to share with my sorrow. Particularly, I just want to name one person, Nafi Mafa. This man was incredible. I was floored. I broke down in tears. He sent an email to my wife and said, tell him what time is he leaving. I'm booking my Singapore Airlines ticket. I'm coming with him right now. I want to thank Nafi for such a heart that he was willing to even to come as a bodyguard with me all the way to Singapore. And I just want to thank him from the bottom of my heart for the way. Can we give a round of applause to this man? I was in the sofa, I think. I just broke down and I cried when I received from his email from his wife, I will book the ticket now. I'm coming with Rich. I know this man, he will break down. I want to thank you for this morning. I think relatively I've handled this well. As I'm still grieving, as I'm still going through this moment, still thinking about how Mom passed away. And the last things I just want to say, the last time when she was active, I think I said the same thing I'll say to you in the Facebook. I said, and one of the things I want to say this to you, my mom was a bit naughty. When my father died in 2008, part of her also died. And part of her, she kept on saying to me, please pray right now, God will take my life. And she has been confessing this for 14 years. Please tell your Jesus to take my life now. I said, why? I said, you've got grandchildren. You've got me. You've got Karen. You've got Mayfeng, who's my sister-in-law. You've got Lionel. You've got everyone. He said, I miss your father too much. I need to see my father. And one day I remembered, I said, I started to have a theological discussion with him. Do you know when you go down there, you won't even know who's your husband over there. You'll have a glorified body. She said, stop your theology argument with me. I've got open channel with God. I will ask him a special grant and permission to show my husband. And this was 2017, 2018. 2019 said, Mom, once you're gone, what am I meant to do? The last words were, the show must go on. The show must go on. I've taught you everything. And the show must go on. You will have to share the gospel. I've done this for 40 years. And then one last testimony. I want to use this. She was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I organized a number of ministry meetings for her in the United States with my American pastors. One night, the wife, the daughter, was driving my mom. She was sitting at the back. They were all excited. They were talking in the car. And this pastor's daughter was driving the car a little bit more. You know, she was speeding. Maybe 10 miles or 20 miles ahead. They called miles. Out comes a copper car at the back. The lights are going on. My mom said, what's going on? The cops are about to issue a fine because I was speeding past Elizabeth. My mom is one of those old-fashioned lady. I'll speak in tongues right now. This American started to laugh. You can speak in tongues for all we care. And she's starting to speak in tongues. And then this American copper comes, knocks her, unwind the window. Ma'am, you've been speeding. I said, how many miles? 20, 30 miles. Said. And my mom, this pastor's in Charlotte, North Carolina, related this story. And my mom interrupts, excuse me, officer. I just want to let you know, please find in your heart to let this daughter go. She's naive. She's ignorant. She did not know what she was doing. This is my mother. And the officer said, who are you? She says, I'm a pastor from Singapore, and this loving mother and daughter has accommodated me, took care of me. They're driving me. In fact, they just picked me up from a meeting in a church. They arrived. He just looked at it. You look like a very loving pastor. Because of you, I'm letting you off. No fine. You can go off right now. And the American pastor and the daughter broke in laughter and tears and prayers. And they said, American police will never do this. What did you do? Kind of thing. So the last number of days, some profound fond memories of my dear mom has come into. Flashbacks are coming through and all this above. So please pray as I come through at this moment. All eyes are closed. All head is bowed. Father, we want to thank you. Jesus, we give you praise and thanks right now. There are a lot of people are over here this morning. They want to be healed in Jesus' name right now. And I pray and ask of God in the name of Jesus, God, you'll bless, you'll touch, you'll anoint right now for every work of the cross of Calvary, God. We stand in the presence of God. He and the Bible says, I am the Lord who healeth thee. I am the Lord who healeth thee. That God is still here, hasn't moved. I had OCD once. I had autism once. I had Tourette syndrome once. I had Asperger's once upon a time. All the above were healed in Jesus' name. Yours could be a heart condition, a kidney condition, a cancer condition, a tumor condition. Whatever the conditions are, my Jesus says, He will heal you once and for all. Today, that blood is effective as what it was to be and it still is. And that Jesus is willing to heal you for once and for all. Father, we give you praise. Jesus, we give you thanks for who you are, for what you are, for what you're doing right now. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God, there shall be a change, God, in every sense of your word right now. We love you for everything that you've done right now, for every part. Is there anyone who will say, I want Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? First time, not second time, not third time, but first time. Anyone who wants to have Jesus Christ as a Lord and personal Savior. If you want that Jesus, raise your left hand or raise your right hand up in the air and you are saying, for the first time, I'm giving my heart to Jesus. Is anyone? If there's none, I'm then going to close this in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we give you praise and thanks right now. We'll honor you, we'll bless you, we want to thank you for your healings which is going through in our personal life right now. I pray and ask of God, if we thank you for this service, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Baron, can you touch that man? Yeah. Son, can I ask you to stand up? Yeah. Just stand up over there. Yeah, Baron, just put there. This morning, 2:30 this morning, there's a man in a white shirt, almost look like a Hawaiian shirt. He will turn up. When he turns up, tell him, you got a calling on your life. When your mother gave birth into this earth, the angels of God rejoice up in heaven. You are going to shut the devil's kingdom down. You're going to break satanic legs. You're going to give him grief. You're going to give him hell back to him. And he will not tolerate. He will become an evangelist. Healing, signs and wonders will take place. You are an incredible man. 2:30. I'm still grieving for my loss of my mom. God says, there's a man in a white shirt, Hawaiian kind of a looker shirt, sleeve. He would have sleeved his role. Came, looked at you. You are the man. God says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to bless you. You have gone through some patches. You haven't been very comfortable with yourself. You have gone through some difficult transitioning from a particular incident happened and another incident which is happening right now. God is going to overcome that. You have to start to, in the days to come, when the time is ready, you need to start to go into a Bible college or into a seminary. Start to get yourself trained up. At the right appointed time, you will go into full-time ministry. You will serve my Jesus. You are called to slay Goliaths. You are called to break and give problems to the power of Satan. From this day onwards, this is your life. This is what God is going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, son. Appreciate it.